WGM, Terry Savage is here, the money lady, and the author of Social Security Horror Stories. Protect yourself from the system and avoid clawbacks. But we're not talking about Social Security today, this Wednesday. Terry is in our studio. Hi, Ms. Savage.
Hello.
Why are you so bright and perky?
Well, because yesterday was the annual Executives Club Economic Forecast Luncheon, which forever I have moderated. I learned long ago, I mean long, long ago when I started, not to be the forecaster, but to be the moderator, the interviewer. Asking the right questions is a bit of an art, and besides, you don't have to get stuck with your forecast year after year. However, we just had that yesterday. Our forecasters, Diane Swonk, the economist, and John Rogers of Ariel Investments, and of course, Dr. Bob. And now you know
Dr. Bob Fralick.
Dr. Bob Fralick, who is was for years ahead of Kemper Funds, and he's written six books and so on and so forth.
Now owns a minor league baseball
team. World, and now he owns the Kane County Cougars. But I will introduce him properly. But his forecast for many years has been the highlight because, unlike most others, he's willing to make a specific forecast. He backs it up with some interesting economic data and some other interesting things that make you think twice. And he was, over the last 5 years, has been extraordinarily bullish. And the question was, will that change this year? As I never know before he forecasts. We've had two back-to-back years, think of this, of 23% gains in the broad stock market, the S&P 500. The Dow Jones, which we all follow, did a little less than that. So yesterday, the room of almost 2,000 people at the Executives Club luncheon was just waiting with bated breath. I'm not going to tell you this now, but the people that were there were, I was in a little bit of shock myself. So when we come back, we will bring Dr. Bob on, not only to give you his stock market forecast. I started to say last year, you remember, and he came on right after this in January, he had predicted Dow 44,000. Well, we were at about 37,800. And in the room, there was a video that played of his forecast last year. And you have me saying, what? 44,000? Looking out at the audience saying, does anybody believe this could happen? And like one person raised their hand. The year before, 2023, he was also bullish. He was only wrong in 2022. That was that horrible year when both stocks and bonds were down. But actually going back 6 or 7 years, he's been incredibly accurate and very bullish. So maybe—
Does Diane Swonk also make a prediction?
Diane always refuses to, but she's such a great economist. She explains things like the impact of tariffs and what could go on with inflation.
Did you get the feeling that she bought what he was selling, that she is as up or down as he is?
You're going to have to wait and talk to, and because this is going to be interesting, and I want to just let you savor this as it happens. So Dr. Bob, right, when we come on, will give his economic, you know, it's not just like he throws a dart at a target and says, okay, well, that's the number that came up. He's got some very interesting reasoning. And again, if someone had this kind of a track record, and you know, it's one thing when you get people who say, well, I think it'll be up about 7%, and I think this will be about 8%, and then you never call them on it because it was such a moderate forecast. Dr. Bob is always willing to be, shall we say, bold and amazing.
And specific.
We'll let that happen right here in a minute.
Okay, Terry Savage, Dr. Bob Fralick joins us now on WGN Radio. Dr. Bob, welcome back.
Hey, Judge. Great to be back. Happy New Year.
Well, you're about to make it a very happy New Year, Dr. Bob. Now, we teed you up in the previous segment, but we really need to say, you know, you're such an extraordinary fellow that we need to now point out you have a 40-year career on Wall Street with some of the major names and chairing investment committees and running mutual funds. And of course, now in your sort of semi-retirement owning the Kane County Cougars. So yesterday, almost 2,000 people at the Hyatt Ballroom at the Executives Club, following on your many years of forecasts. I don't want you to give the, I want you to do it the way you did it yesterday. Could you tell us, you gave sort of four economic trends that led up to your forecast. Could you start with that?
Yeah, I would be happy to. Basically, it's five trends, four economic and three market. But it's just, I think for any forecast, The more important thing is not the number of what the forecast is, but what's the foundation that's going to make the likelihood that number happen. And so that's why I want to paint the foundation. So I think there's two parts of the foundation. There always is for a forecast. One is about the economy and the other is about the market itself. So from an economic perspective, I think there's two really important trends for investors to focus on in 2024. And these aren't new trends, they're the same trends from 24, but I'll remind you how important they are. One is interest rates. I think the story of interest rates in 2025 is they're going to continue to go lower. Now, they may be going slower than I would like to see them go, but I think they're going to be lower and slower, and I think that's a very positive backdrop for the economy. The second thing is inflation. I think inflation is going to stay flat. I actually think it's going to start going down when we get towards the second half of the year. So from an inflation perspective, I think the story, again, is going to be lower and slower inflation. So
let me make this point. Today, we got good news. The market read it as good news on inflation. Yesterday, when this luncheon started, the market had been down. I mean, it dropped significantly. Today, we're up 650 points, and interest rates have backed off a little. So you were certainly ahead of the game when you said yesterday. But is this a short-term trend, lower interest rates, lower inflation?
I think it is. I think it's good. Look, interest rates and inflation are always volatile. So there's going to be some times when it backs up both on an inflation and an interest rate perspective. But if you can take the longer term view, if you can look at the next 12 months, I think the bias is going to be lower rates and lower inflation, slower rates and slower inflation. So that combination bodes well, especially for our economy, because let's not forget, two-thirds of the economy is driven by the consumer and consumer spending. What do they love? They love low interest rates and they love low inflation. And I think that's what they're going to get. So from an economic perspective, I think it's a good backdrop. Now, from a market perspective, I'm even more excited because I think there's three trends that really be the story of the day when we get to the end of 2025 for our markets. First is what I'm going to categorize as robust earnings, and I will define robust earnings for you. It's double digit. I think we're going to look at double digit earnings in the stock market in 2025. The second thing is I think we're going to see a series of deregulations across multiple industries and multiple sectors. So it isn't just a shotgun approach. It isn't just a rifle approach at one industry. I think it's more like a shotgun of multiple industries, multiple sectors getting deregulated, which will be very positive for the markets. And last but not least, I think you're going to see corporate tax cuts. So from my perspective, I think the market's going to go higher a little longer than people think. I've been around long enough to know that every bull market comes to an end. But a bull market never comes to an end when we have global disinflation and global central bank easings. We're going to have global disinflation and global central bank easing in 2025. And then when I can add on top of that, robust earnings, deregulation, and corporate tax cuts, I just think the story of our market, their market's going to be higher for longer than many people think.
Which is where I turned to you, and I wish we had a drum roll, and said, okay, put a number on it. What do you see for the Dow? Oh my goodness!
That's why radio is the best venue there is in the world. I can't believe it.
Did not plan that. I just said it. Pete Zimmerman, our producer, comes up with the drum roll. Okay, the Dow forecast.
Amazing.
The Dow forecast for 2025 from Dr. Bob Fralick.
It'll be 50,000. It'll go 50,000 by the end of the year.
Would any of those things...
The silence hit me again today.
The absence of any of those things discount that? Or do you think the market can survive a Congress that doesn't give the corporate tax cuts that you're anticipating?
I think it can survive any of those things not happening because I think we're going to get some of them. I don't know that I need all of them.
Yeah.
And I think, John, I step back and look at, I know the number sounds big, but if you step back, I mean, we were over 45,000 on the Dow already. So we're going to retest that in a heartbeat, in my opinion. You always retest the highs. So basically, I know people say, oh my gosh, 50,000. And that's never going to happen. Well, you know, when we retest the high at 45,000, that's only a 10% gain to get up to 50. So it's the number sounds outlandish because that number is so big for people who've been in the market for such a long time.
Yeah.
But it really isn't that big to make that kind of move. And I think, you know, look, in life you get a choice. You can look at the glass and say it's half empty, or you can look at the glass and say it's half full. And I know there are so many problems we have in this country, so many problems around the world, but no one looks at the upside of what those problems are going to bring. I'm devastated what happened in North Carolina on the East Coast with all those hurricanes. But why does no one talk about the economic boom that's going to happen on the East Coast when we rebuild all that? And the same thing, my heart goes out to what's happening in California. That's going to be rebuilt. The economic boom on both ends of the United States, both coasts, no one is forecasting what's that going to do to the economy, what's that going to do to the market. And then, oh, don't forget, so eventually we are going to get peace in the Middle East and rebuild everything that was bombed down, and eventually we are going to get peace between Russia and Ukraine. And the potential upside for every negative story you have, there's a positive offset. And I'm not saying it's all going to be rosy and easy. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. There are more economic catalysts which will provide market catalysts that no one is thinking about that gets you to that 50,000.
Do you think you're going to get a 10 to 12% increase in the S&P and the NASDAQ as well?
I think the NASDAQ is with being so technology driven. You know, I think you're going to continue to see that. I think the Dow might be the outperformer this year, where last year it was the S&P. I think the Dow may be the outperformer, but I think you're going to see across the markets. I think you're going to see the NASDAQ, the Dow, and the S&P 500 all have good years. If the interest rate, if my interest rate outlook is correct and inflation outlook is correct, you know, and there's so many positive things going on. It doesn't mean every day it's going to be up or every month it's going to be up. And you still want to stay diversified as an investor. But goodness, this foundation, I think it's a really, really strong foundation for the market that just, it's not doing anything new. It's just continuing what it's been doing. And it's just, you know, the higher you get, the easier it is to get to the next level.
Well, I was throwing a curve. Tariffs. I mean, tariffs, a tax not only on people and that gives cover to raise prices, it causes inflation, but, you know, the building materials we need to import from Canada, if we have tariffs against our northern neighbor, autos in Mexico, does that throw kind of a pause into your forecast of growth?
It will cause a short-term pause because I think the market tends to overreact and there'll be a lot of disinformation that's out there. And we tend to look at things in silos and isolation. So everyone that thinks the tariff is bad is going to look at it in isolation and say, oh my gosh, the cost of importing is going to be so much more and it's going to be the end of the world. But no one is looking at the other side of the coin. So do you think like China's going to do nothing? So if all of a sudden there's tariffs, they're going to have to do something to make sure their economy stays strong. And no one's talking about, well, what happens when China decides to go on a massive stimulus program? I don't know what that program is going to look like, but I do know if China decides to go on a stimulus program, my gosh, they'll bring the whole global economy along with them. So we can't look at these things in one-off silos that we tend to do. So yes, it'll be a hiccup for the market, and probably when tariffs go in, it'll make my forecast look wrong because the market probably won't be up 600 points that day. It'll probably be down. But in the long run, there will be a reaction to that tariff. And that reaction, in my opinion, is going to be China saying, we've got to get some stimulus going to make this happen. And where China goes, the rest of the world tends to follow. So I just think it's a short-term hiccup, not a long-term change to my forecast.
Will you stay with us for just over this commercial and news break? Because you talked about what kind of stocks this time around, this year 2025, would be the beneficiaries of your forecast, more so than others might expect. So I'm going to turn it back to John, but I hope
give
us some ideas.
If you give us another minute on that. And I also wonder what this means. So I think all of that means that if I'm in the market and I want to retire someday, that's good news for me. What do you think is going to happen with inflation or the cost of living or wages? I mean, you didn't make a forecast about that, but how would this, layer on top of those things, Bob?
You know, John, I think that, you know, I look at inflation this year, and as I said, I think it's going to go lower and slower. But I would look at probably a 2.753% inflation rate, so an inflation rate that's slowing down. But the real wild card becomes the strength in the economy has to continue so wages can go up. Because that really, you know, especially as I mentioned earlier, you know, with the economy driven two-thirds by the consumer, it's great to have low interest rates and it's great to have low inflation, but you really need to have money to make the economy grow. And I think that wage growth is going to be really, really important. Mm-hmm. And I think as the global economy recovers and company, you know, when you get corporate tax cuts, it's amazing what can happen. And I'm not saying that has to happen. But boy, when that does happen, the ripple effect tends to be positive. And hopefully it works its way back down into the individual employees. And that then drives the economy.
All right. Stay right there. Terry Savage, the money lady from terrysavage.com, the syndicated financial columnist, the regular guest with us on Wednesdays, often invites her friend, Dr. Bob Frelick, to visit with us and often talk about his prediction. If you just joined us, he said the end of this year, the Dow will be at or have passed, maybe it won't be on that number, 50,000. And he's optimistic about the other indices, too. Terry Savage is here. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Dr. Bob Frelick just joined us, the, among other things, famous stock prognosticator who has announced his number for 2025, 50,000 on the Dow at some point between now and the end of the year. He was right about 44,000 this year. He sees another 10 to 12% of growth, depending on where you start that line.
Yeah, it's kind of blew everybody's face away at the Executives Club Forecast Luncheon. Dr. Bob, you made a great foundation for why this would happen, a trend of lower interest rates, lower inflation, great corporate earnings, deregulation, and possible corporate tax cuts. And a good point that this would be a kind of a global phenomenon as countries around the world, maybe even China, flooding its markets if it reacts to tariffs, devaluing its currency to really get things going there. So the real question is, then how do you invest in that, Dr. Bob? I've just always said, just go buy the S&P 500. My goodness, it's done very well. But is there a better way to approach it this year because the S&P is so heavily weighted in those big tech stocks?
Terry, I think there actually is. I think there's a really opportunity in small capitalized stocks this year. When I say small cap, people talk about that all the time. So basically, a small capitalization company would have a market value of between $250 million and $2 billion. So they're the smaller companies that are out there. And why I they'll do so well is I think they'll be the biggest beneficiaries of an economic backdrop that has lower interest rates, lower inflation, and then add corporate tax cuts. And I'm going to throw a fourth one in there. I think one of the wild cards is going to be a reshoring of supply chains here in the States with the uptick in manufacturing. Now, why is that benefit small companies more than large companies? Well, think about lower interest rates. Lower interest rates means lower borrowing costs. Yeah. It has its greatest impact on smallest companies because they have the toughest time negotiating with banks. The bigger companies have multiple banks that they can play off against each other. Smaller companies don't. Same thing with inflation. If we have lower inflation, which I think we're going to have, that the cost of buying goods and materials goes down, greatest impacts on the smallest companies because they don't have negotiating leverage when they're negotiating prices with their vendors. Then when I throw potential corporate tax cuts, the companies with the smallest balance sheets get the biggest benefit. That's the way it works. And so they will be big beneficiary of any tax cuts. And then I think the wild card that I think would really be the catalyst to small cap companies is if any reshoring of the supply chain, meaning less supply chain disruption, because it has the greatest impact on the smallest companies because the companies have the smallest inventory. They just don't have the capability to have the larger inventory. So if you give them some flexibility there, I think you can bring them together. I think one of the big stories in 2025 may be a small story, and that small story is small cap stocks.
What about this? One of our listeners said, stock market booms are great. They sound wonderful. How does our astronomical national debt factor into this? Debt is rarely spoken about. It's a silent economy killer. What's your thought about that, Bob?
It is. It's too high. It's always been too high. It's been too high 10 years ago. It's been too high 20 years ago. and it'll be too high 10 years from now. I think the amazing thing is what fuels that. And what fuels that is as long as the economy continues to grow, and I'm not saying we just get out of the debt. We have to do a better job with the debt. But the overlying factor is twofold, in my opinion. One is the strength of the backdrop of the economy that fuels the support for that debt. And secondly is the global support that we have. If someone is going to invest a dollar, the bias is going to be, I'm going to go to the safest investment anywhere in the world, and it's the U.S. Treasury. And so I think as long as you have that combination of an economy that can help you offset the debt that you have, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't have to come down. It does, but it's almost like the debt. The amount of personal debt you have depends on how much you make. And so as long as the economy continues to grow, I think you can manage that debt, although it does need to come down. Mm-hmm. But more importantly is what's going to keep fueling this here? And what's going to keep fueling? We have the rule of law. You know, we have the best system anywhere in the world. And if someone's looking to put a dollar somewhere that's safe and secure, that dollar's going to come to the United States. And I think as long as we keep that intact and have the governance that we have with these companies, I think we win when it comes to where's the best place to put the dollar.
Whoa. Any thoughts on, now a lot of people just perked up their ears, okay, small caps. But instead of running around trying to pick out a few small companies, you want to explain how people should approach this in terms of funds and so forth?
I think, small caps are a tough area to invest in because many names of the companies you won't even recognize, you know, because they're smaller companies. They're not the big companies that you think of. So in essence, when it's something like that, the best play is an exchange-traded fund. Yeah. So basically, you know, let a professional manager go out there, get you a basket of these small companies, and there are quite a few, small cap specific, ETFs, exchange-traded funds. And I think that's the best for individual investors to go. That way you have someone else pick the companies for you, and you get broad exposure across all kinds of different industries. It may not go as fast as an individual company, but it also will not go down as fast as an individual company. Yeah. So I think it's a great investment for individual investors.
My last question, then we'll let you go, Bob, but you are weirdly, it sounds, bullish about tariffs. And everything I've heard is that those will be bad for our national economy and for the individual consumer. And you made it sound like, well, then maybe if in fact it happens, and I think that's a question that only time will tell. But then you suggest that if China retaliated with tariffs, then what happens? How is that helpful to us, Bob? Can you just walk me through that?
I'm sorry. Yeah, John. No, I didn't mean that they'd retaliate with tariffs. I think their retaliation is going to be, okay, the United States, you got us on that one. We have to respond by putting stimulus into our economy. And so I'm not of the camp that said we're going to get into a tariff war with Canada and with China. I think tariffs are going to go into place in some way, shape, or form. I'm not sure what it's going to look like at the end of the day. But instead of it going into some negative trade war, I think China's going to say, okay, this is a new world order. We've got tariffs in the United States. How do we continue to grow our economy? Well, the way you grow the economy is you stimulate your economy. And if China starts stimulating the economy, the impact it's going to have all over the world is unprecedented. And while everyone wants to look at the short-term siloed negative effect a tariff can have in the United States for 30 days, no one's looking at the next 30 months what it's going to be if China ends up stimulating their economy. So it's like everything. There's two sides to every coin. No one really knows what's going to happen, but the only thing I feel real good about is 50,000.
Well, that's your new nickname, 50,000 Bob.
That's right.
50,000 Bob.
And by the way, we invite you back whenever and whatever day that happens. We will call that breaking news and get you back on. We'll be following
that. We need to have a halfway point. I think let's schedule something. Let's see how smart I am in July. Let's get back and do this.
June 15th,
either that or opening day of baseball. When's opening day of baseball for the Kane County Cougars?
Opening day is May. First Thursday in May. So let's do it. Let's do something at mid-year. Let's see where it is. We can recap, see how all this is playing out.
All right.
And I'll double down on my 50,000.
Let's put it this way. Anytime Bob Frelick wants to come on, he's invited. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dr. Bob.
Thank you so much. Thanks, John. Thanks, Terry. Good catching up with both of you.
Do you agree with what he says?
Why would I disagree with Dr. Bob?
Because it's someone has so a track optimistic.
Record. You know what? I sure want to believe. Could I say something, though? That was a forecast from a guy who's been great. Let me just send a little Savage Truth message out to all of you. That was a forecast, not a guarantee. My hands are here in prayer that he's right. If you're retired, keep a little chicken money on the side. You're getting 4.25 at least in six-month T-bills. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered on Old Savage Truth. Some chicken money on the side. It'll be okay if you. If the market goes up, you're going to be fine with your stocks. But a little safety is called for when you can't replace it by working.
We'll ask you a couple of the kinds of questions we normally ask Terry Savage about your money in just a minute. We've got more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago's credit rating has been downgraded. S&P Global Ratings made the downgrade, citing structural imbalances in the city's 2025 budget. S&P says those issues will also make balancing the budget in 2026 and out years more challenging. The downgrade lowered Chicago's general obligation debt from BBB plus to BBB and will make it more expensive for the city to borrow money. The city budget was approved by a narrow vote of 27-23 after a controversial property tax hike was lowered considerably. Charlie Trotter's restaurant is reopening in Chicago 11 years after the chef's death. Dylan Trotter, Charlie Trotter's son, tells Block Club Chicago the location at 816 West Armitage will open for 2 weeks starting today. Diners will get to sample a special tribute menu, and it's completely booked. Charlie Trotter's is expected to open permanently sometime this year, and this pop-up was designed to be a teaser. The restaurant first opened in Chicago in 1987 and became one of the best eateries in the world. It closed in 2012. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
We've got the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And let's see who's on the business of food hotline.
I am Nicole Friesen, and I am a Chicago Bears All-Pro.
And here's another Bears All-Pro.
Hi, my name is Maisha Muhammad, and I am the owner of Kebabit Restaurant.
Yeah, two more of Chicago Bears Small Business All-Pros. And let's begin with Nicole. After I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today, there's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, Nicole Friesen. She's CEO of Doughboys and runs it with her husband, Chris. Doughboys is in the Park Manor neighborhood, which is where, Nicole?
So we're right on 71st. We're in between King Drive and Calumet Avenue.
And what's on the menu?
We're known for our jerk chicken salads. We're known for our chicken and our baked herbal wings and our turkey burgers. We have a plethora of great menu items, but we're known for we call it the home of the world famous spaghetto.
Spaghetto?
Spaghetto, yes, which is our ground turkey spaghetti.
And being a Bears All-Pro means getting a lot of marketing help, which small businesses can really use.
It has really just given us a big boost.
Including a free ad on the Jumbotron at Soldier Field.
Just to see our name and logo on the big screen, like, that was, like, so exciting.
Doughboys, a Chicago Bears Small Business All-Pro on 71st between King Drive and Calumet Avenue. Meanwhile, Kebabit is located on the University of Chicago campus, where 80% of the customers are students.
Kebabit is a Mediterranean/American cuisine, but we also do, like, daily specials, fun and innovative dishes that are popular with young people.
Maisha Mohammed's path to being a business owner started at Washburn Culinary School, then working for food vendors at the University of Chicago for several years before deciding she wanted more.
So I just literally took the leap of faith, said I'm ready to go, I'm ready to try it now, and here I am.
Kebabit at the University of Chicago and Doughboys in Park Manor. Congrats to both Chicago Bears Small Business All-Pros. On the food calendar, it's National Bagel Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Moments ago, Dr. Bob Frelick joined us to say that he thinks the Dow is going to close the year or hit at some point 50,000. He's optimistic about the other two indices, but not as optimistic, but he thinks it's going to be a banner year for a host of reasons that he explained. Somebody's texted in and said, will Dr. Bob's interview be posted on John's WGN radio page? And the answer is yes. Go to the John Williams page under shows at WGNradio.com.
And at Terry Savage under WGNradio.com. There's a big box on the homepage of TerrySavage.com that links to your site.
You'll actually see it under the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's the show that this hour is. And after we get off at 2, producer Pete will make sure it gets loaded up there. I would share that with your friends. Ask your financial advisor what they think, because he was he was bullish. And then Terry said, remember, .. okay, anything else? You mentioned that Diane Swank was there at this meeting.
Yeah, Diane,
and she doesn't make a prediction, but did she agree with him?
Well, Diane is very hopeful.
Famous economist.
If Diane Swank is you know, the real thing economist, that's what she does. And she was very hopeful for the year ahead for lower inflation and lower interest rates, but very tempered with concerns about labor, concerns about, here's one where we didn't bring up with Dr. Bob, immigration and the impact on the labor market if, in fact, workers that are necessary are for some reason deported. There's a whole lot of ifs. And so she tempered her optimism about the economy with waiting to see what policies would come out of this administration, not only the tariffs, which Dr. Bob made a really interesting point, not a tariff war, which destroyed us in the 30s, the Smoot-Hawley tariff plunged the world into wars and depression. But in this case, if China retaliated by saying, all right, we're going to put money into our economy, stimulate our economy. If it's too expensive to sell in the U.S. because of a tariff, we'll sell cheaply all over the world, get the world growing. So that's an interesting, I mean, that's the creative response.
So he positioned China's reaction to tariffs by the U.S. as a rising tide will lift all the other boats out there, and somehow the U.S. will be the beneficiary of that, too. Look, if these other economies grow, they buy goods and services from us.
And from China. You know what, folks? This is going to be a really interesting year. It's really hard, and as a real pure economist, Diane said, hard to forecast until we see exactly what policies come out. Everybody who's so concerned about, quote, tax cuts for the rich, corporate tax cuts give corporations the opportunity to grow, build, maybe even pay more in wages if they will.
Also hoard profits and not share the wealth.
Well, you know, it doesn't do a corporation much good to hoard profits. What they typically do is go, business is great. Let's build a new plant. Let's open new facilities. Let's do this with it or that. The idea of Scrooge sitting on in a cave on a pile of gold coins is not the idea of a growing economy. If it does that, you know, don't forget I started out as a sort of a supply-sider. And the idea that people don't work to pay taxes, they work to keep an after-tax return, and that corporations don't hoard profits, when they're successful, they grow and expand and hire people. We will see pretty soon, I would guess, into this year, whether A, we get the cuts, and B, whether we get the growth.
We're out of time.
Well, it's been a fun day, though. I feel like I've been dancing up and down. I was not sitting in the chair.
Well, that's
here.
Because you have been dancing up and down for the last hour. TerrySavage.com. Find her stuff at TerrySavage.com. And again, if you just joined us, a spirited, fascinating, long segment, 45 minutes with Dr. Bob Frelick at WGNRadio.com. Just click on the podcast for the Wintrust Business Lunch a little later today. Share it with your friends. Terry, always nice to see you.
Good to be with you, John.